Blog Talk Radio.
Morning.
you respect the office. So whether or not a teacher decides to go or not, you know, that's another story. But I think all but two I have a youth. So hats off to all the teachers of the year. And for those that did go to the Oval Office, a special congratulations to you. And I respect those that did not attend for their reasons. They were against some policies. If you want to talk about what those policies are, why those feel that attendance or not attending was perceived the right line of thought, because it's about it. Well, you can call us 6167 to the phone lines here shortly. So, of the year, if you've got perfect attendance, congratulations to you. This is positive talk for you. We don't forget our way for some of the things that are not so speak on that. It's a number. You can log on to my website if you don't remember the number. You can also find me on Facebook. Lisa knows it. We can talk about that incident. Why is that so important? Because when we are practicing a threat, typically we're inside the building. So this assault happened outside. The suspect. So if you want to talk about that, please call us. The other thing that's really bothering me, and I'm not just me, a lot of mourning going on, the burial for a hero, Riley Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L, he's a hero. He gave his life and saved, we don't know how many, but many, saved people. He was just 21 years old from Waynesville, North Carolina. I did not go to undergrad in North Carolina. I was a Jersey grad, but that's another story. But coming home, one of my very first
So I have a caller. So before we get to the phone line, let me just also say a couple of things about the necessary steps that we take for lockdown. And then I will go to the phones and let you have a voice, because we want this to be a program for you to also voice what is bothering you. It's positive talk therapy. And so talking through things is how we get through things. One of the things that in school, in the norm of the schedule for the school year, is we're practicing threats. Typically for a lockdown, something that's a practice necessary component is scary. Even if we're not even talking about something that's going to be a threat, just practicing for the threat is scary. If you've ever been in schools, and I'm pretty sure most of us have, we practice. I don't want to go through every step that we do for the practice of a lockdown, but sometimes you don't know if it's a real threat or not. You just know you've got to do what you've got to do, whether or not it's huddling under the desk or barricading a door, whatever the practice is, you do it. And at that time, you may not know that it's a practice. So just imagine if there is a real threat, what all is going through your head and what you want to do. We all, you know, have to have some sense of direction of what to do. So practice is necessary. All grade levels do it. All teachers do it. And it's quite an experience. Before any of these occurrences this week happened, before any of this happened, I was talking to a teacher. And this is not a live conversation. It's a recorded conversation, but I want to play it for you because the topic of lockdown came up, just to show you how necessary this is. So we're going to talk to, and this is a North Carolina teacher too, by the way. Yvonne, can we get to that? It's a recorded. I'm talking to my producer, so... But I would like to go to that first, if we could, because as I was saying, this was before the Decatur assault with the pellet gun, before the tragedy, the heinous situation on the UNC Charlotte campus. I sat down, took a call. We were just going through discussion on some of the topics. I just happened to connect with a teacher that's in Charlotte. And the topic of lockdown came up. Can we go to that? You're working on it? Okay, as soon as we can get that, let's play that, because I just want to show you that even in when we're not dealing with real time, that this is a topic, this is an issue, this is a practice that is one of those things that we have to function. You know, it can be a drain on our emotions, but we function and we do it, all grade levels. The number, we're going to take some calls shortly. The number is 646-787-1657. I'm sorry if I didn't get to your call earlier. Please try to call back. We've had a couple of technical issues. It is the first program, and so I do apologize if I'm not up on all of my technology for podcasting. It's one of those things that you get better as you go. The program is Teacher Talk. I'm Dr. Lisa Moser. You can call me Lisa. When you go to my website, it's at lisamoser.com. You just click on where it says Teacher Talk Blog. You'll find out some information about the program, our upcoming guest. We have a special guest coming up later in this program. A very conservative, very well-known commentator. We're going to go to Mr. Shelley Winter. And I want to thank Shelley for taking time to stop by and be a spokesperson of school and education topics here on Teacher Talk. So he's coming up as well. But first, we have a couple of – do we have our caller from North Carolina? My producer starts raising, so can you say yes? So that's good. Not yet? Okay. So I do apologize, a couple of technical issues. So let me mention that while the end of the school year was going so great for so many students, and even with the ups and downs and emotions in Charlotte, the Waka Flocka Flame rapper, do you know who he is? Waka Flocka Flame was scheduled for a live concert. How wonderful is that on that day? Of course, that was canceled. But what I find also ironic about this day was that Waka Flocka was in the news earlier this month, or earlier last month, because there was a shooting. I don't know if it was outside his studio or inside of his studio. So just imagine what was going through his head, because he's already been through a life-threatening type situation. He's getting ready to do a concert on the beautiful campus of UNC Charlotte, and that concert was canceled, of course, when the text went out to take cover, hide or fight. So it would be interesting to see what Waka Flocka Flame experienced during that time, along with all of the fear that was going on with all of the students there at the university. So having a little technical issue, do we have that conversation? Okay, great. We're going to take on a conversation. We're going to listen to a conversation that I had earlier with a teacher about some of the things that we experience with a lockdown. This is Teacher Talk, positive talk therapy. It's positive for me. I hope it is for you. Please feel free to call in. I know that some of you were on hold and then we lost the call. I do apologize for that. The number is 646-787-1657. We will work out the bugs, I promise. To protect the privacy of others, please, when you do call in, remember there's no identifying names and or locations to protect the anonymity of teachers. Are you ready, Scott? Okay. Thank you. So we have it? Okay, we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
Is my king, is my one, yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son, I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through, and everything I am, he's my support system, I can't live without him, the best thing since sliced bread, is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch, and I just want the whole world to know about my black brother. I love you, and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true, cause you're my black brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. Misunderstood. Yeah. Some say that he's up to no good around the neighborhood. But for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it, you got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, a talented brother, and to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you, but my black brother. I'll never hurt you.
And this is Teacher Talk, Positive Teacher Talk Therapy. I'm Dr. Lisa Mosier. You can call me Lisa. Let's get your callers back. So,
who do I have on the line? Hello?
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful day. Who am I talking to? First names, please.
Well, my name is Pianchi.
Hi, how are you today? What's the topic that's on your mind for our program, Teacher Talk?
Well, you were making some mention about alternative education and alternatives for parents seeking better options for students. And I agree with that. I have always been a strong proponent for alternative education, school choice. I'm a strong proponent for school choice with vouchers. One of the points why I supported this present administration, because I never heard a official at that higher level speak on that issue the way they do. And for the simple reason is because of the traditional methods are not producing the numbers in the areas where there should be. And I'm speaking on the lines of Black and African American students.
Do you have children in school?
I have had children in school. My last sibling is a grandson who's attending college right now.
Did you go to
and
public school?
Well, he started off in private school. When he got to a position where he wanted to compete in certain activities, he went to a public school. His mama went to a school that I paid for. And I directed him into the area. You know, I told him he was going to be an engineer. And that's
Did you say you were a teacher?
No, I said I directed him into the area of study that he's in now, and that's engineering. But no, that is the thing. You look at what's in demand, and you look at your numbers. Blacks as a society, and they just don't have the numbers in these areas, and the thing to do is start producing them. You have organizations like the National Society of Black Engineers, which does a very good job. They just celebrated their 45th annual convention there in Detroit, which ended the 31st of March, and they promote STEM graduates. They are on a mission to effect at least 15,000 Black STEM graduates a year and working their way up to 25,000.
I'm all for the support of STEM. I have been for many, many years an advocate and always support advocacy of STEM. But let me go back to your personal story. You have a family member, a grandson. And you said that he was in private school, and then because of the extracurricular, what sport did you say he went to public school because he wanted to participate in the sport, right?
Yeah, I directed him into baseball because I played baseball.
Is that right? Okay. And so in going to public school, he was able to participate and train more in that sport, correct?
Yes, he was he went into public school, I think, around the seventh grade, maybe the sixth grade, I'm not sure. But his mama stayed in private school, what you call private school, throughout her entire career.
So we can all say that public school has certain benefits that you're not going to find in all private schools. Here's the problem, and we're going to address this coming up in a little bit, because as I said at the early part of the start of the program, rather, we have a conservative commentator, Mr. Shelley Winter, is going to join us in this discussion about alternatives to school. It's posted on my blog. I hadn't mentioned it yet because it's really the second half hour, but we're getting close enough to it, and I do appreciate you calling in, because this is a topic that concerns legislation, educators, parents, family, everybody. And I know that a number of people, even close to me in my little circle, that are for alternative schools. But I have to look at it from a teacher because I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is private school or charter schools able to quickly eliminate a student whose behavior is not appropriate and send them back to the school that probably already lost money for that student and go into that teacher's classroom. And what happens is you end up getting more behavioral issues on that teacher, sometimes in the middle of the year. And so I'm not saying that it's not possible for charter schools to be a better option for teachers, but it's not good for everybody around.
Well, nothing is good for everybody.
What other options are there?
You know, I've seen public schools, like, for instance, in Kansas City, Missouri, you had Chick School. Well, when the children changed classroom, you couldn't hear a sound. This is a public school. You couldn't hear a sound. If they had problems with the students, they had in school. And you go in that room, it may be six desks. So one needs to look at what it is that they're doing that is not being achieved elsewhere.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Why are we setting up another system when it's not perfect? You're not even addressing
what
the core problem
want.
Addressing.
You have to look at what the parent wants.
I don't think that's what all parents want. I don't think it's what all parents can afford to do. But what I'm saying is two wrongs don't make a right. If the new option is going to cause more and additional problems for the system that's in place, we're not really fixing the system in place. We're just creating two additional problems.
When black parents are polled and surveyed, they in the high 70 percentile say this is what we want. And who better knows than the parent themselves? Hang on for a second. I've been working with this issue since the 1970s, a long time. And I've seen all these different programs try to be inserted in traditional schools, and in some cases they work, many cases they don't.
Go ahead with your example, because can go and get statistics that support both sides. But go ahead with your example, please.
Well, what I'm saying is this, is that you are not producing the numbers. You have children that's sitting in classroom that are bored because they are not being challenged for whatever reason. That parent, just because they come from an underprivileged background, but they're a functional household that does the things that's designed in order to produce an astute student, they should have the ability to be afforded to take those resources and put their child in an environment that's better suited for their overall long-term educational goals. And that money should follow that child.
And again, I'm just going to say this. And I know that this is a train of thought on a lot of different leaders in different areas of legislation. But here I am, just a teacher, and I'm going to say that schools, setting up two different school systems is not about fixing what the core problem is. You know, some of the charter schools and some of the private schools are going to be very, very successful. But we still have an undercurrent that's problematic that's going to get worse. And they're not talking about doing away with public school.
We're not talking about that.
The problem with what we have in place.
You know, in Kansas
have
City,
a in place,
let me tell you something else.
School, why come you can't fix the school?
Well,
that's
you know, regardless,
if
it, here it is, regardless of those who don't want it, it's happening all the time. It's going to happen. But in Kansas City, Missouri, the DSEG judge asked the activists, what type of money are we talking about to alleviate this problem of lack of education amongst these kids? This is a district that had 33,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
The activist said, we need $1 billion. Judge Russell Clark said, I will give you $2 billion. That equates to about $67,000 a year based on the ADA when that child sits in that classroom. So money is not the problem.
Thank you. Money's not the problem.
So the thing
let
is...
Let me just say this. While everybody's trying to, you know, take away the funding and, you know, go to private and give vouchers and set up, let me tell you that this this is a post I read. I saved it. And I should put it on my website. I think I will do that. But allow me, please, to read you verbatim. I'm not going to say her last name, Lisa. She wrote this, and it was posted on, I think it was AJC's Facebook. But let me read it to you. It says clearly in the headline, "Parents are the problem." As a retired teacher, I am sick of people who know nothing about public schools or have not been in a classroom recently deciding how to fix our education system. The teachers are not the problem. Parents are the problem. They are not teaching their children manners, respect, or even a general knowledge of how to get along with others. The children come to school in shoes that cost more than the teacher's entire outfit, but have no pencil or paper. Who provides them? The teachers often provide them out of their own pocket. When you look at schools that are failing, look at the parents and students. Do parents come to parent night? Do they talk with the teachers regularly? Do they make sure their children are prepared by having necessary supplies? Do they make sure their children do their homework? Do they have working telephone numbers? Do the students take notes in class? Do they do their homework? Do the students listen in class? Are they the source of class disruption? When you look at these factors, you will see that it is not schools that are failing, but the parents. Teachers cannot do their job, and the parents' job too. Until parents step up and do their job, nothing is going to get better. Again, that's quote verbatim by Lisa.
Well, I agree with her partly because in the state of Missouri, the law, the state law says this.
Thank you. I appreciate your point. We're going to move on from that. But please, be a listener. If you like what you're hearing today, make sure you check out my website, lisamosner.com. You can click on the Teacher Talk blog. And we ask for a donation. Again, thank you so much for our caller for today. We were, before we got into the voucher alternative schools, we had a couple of things that were concerning us technically, but I want to go to our guest for today, the recording for Mr. Shelley Winter, because I've got to get that in. But it's on point. It's very much related to what our caller was talking about. No disrespect to him, but let's go with our conservative commentator, Mr. Shelley Winter.
He is a conservative commentator, a well-known figure here in Atlanta. Welcome to Teacher Talk, Shelley Winter. Hi.
Hey, Teacher Talk.
Thank you for being part of the discussion today. Shelley, describe your school days. What was your school experience like?
Oh, it was actually pretty good. Looking back on it, my mom was pretty much of a genius. She taught in public schools in New York City, and she kind of knew that they were, you know, good and bad, and you know, can be good, can be bad. So she actually sent me to private schools. So school for me was pretty fun because I was able to go to private schools, get a very good education. Not saying that you can't get one in a public school, but get a very good education in a private school. Then I always came home to where I grew up in Harlem. So I had really the best of both worlds growing up.
When you were, say, in middle school, did you have a favorite subject, a favorite teacher?
Had a favorite subject, history, in 5th to 8th grade. High school, my favorite subject was psychology. And in college, I would say my favorite subject was advertising, all my advertising classes.
Yeah, that kind of adds up to the person that you are. You're kind of like into theology and political issues and even a philosopher at times. I read your post on Facebook, Shelley. Let me ask you a couple of things about the current state of the education that we're looking at. Even though you came through private school, you've talked a lot about gentrification. You've talked about economics. How do you see the big issue for public education?
Well, you know, like I said, my mom, I would never say she was a single mom, even though we lived just the two of us. My father lived two blocks away going south. My grandparents lived about two blocks away going north. So, you know, even though in the house, kind of officially or technically, it was just my mom and I, my grandparents and my father was, you know, a block away, blocks away. So, but the thing about education that people, I think, miss is that education is based on the parents. The quality of a child's education really is based on the quality of the parents, educationally, not the quality of the parents, you know, morally or character-wise or anything, just the quality of the parents, their education. They don't have to be well-educated. They don't have to be, you know, super-educated. It's just that how serious do the parents take the educational the education of their children.
The value,
right? How much do they value the education of their children? And so I think that that's what we miss a lot. So whatever ideas we always come up with, be it charter schools or vouchers or private versus public or whatever it is that we come up with, homeschooling doesn't count in this, I guess, but whatever ideas we come up with, we're always coming up with them outside the purview of the important question of who the parents are of particular children. And I think that's what the charter school movement seeks to do. I always tell people, you know, charter schools, no one would ever admit this, but I always tell groups when I speak to them, charter schools really are designed. The ultimate design of a charter school is really designed to keep good kids with responsible parents away from bad kids and irresponsible parents. And no one ever wants to admit that, but that's the truth of the matter. And that's why they're fairly successful.
Before I get back in, I'm going to ask you another question about the voucher and the charter school. But before we get back into that, let me go back to, because it sounds like you had not a traditional support system, but a strong support system. You mentioned that your family living in close proximity. And so while you were in school, you were not just influenced by your mom or even your dad. You had your grandparents around, cousins maybe.
Yeah, I had aunts and cousins. I had a building full of neighbors. I had a neighborhood. I had church where I went to church. There was a bunch of people. You know what I mean? There's just a bunch of people around that you looked at, and nobody was doing anything negative. No one's doing anything bad. And even the ones that were, it wasn't all that bad. You know, I actually turned out, you know, somewhat to be the black sheep of my own family as the one who got in trouble. It's interesting. I mean, background, it does help. But it really, like I said, it's the quality, it's how much a parent values their child's education. That's really the bulk of education in this country. And until we make education a cultural effort, I'm talking about the whole entire country, until we make education a cultural thing like the Asians do or like the Scandinavians do or like the Germans do, where education is the centerpiece of the entire family.
Or like how we did at one time, I think.
Or how we did at one time, yeah.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you a couple of things about the charter and about your view on education.
This is Teacher Talk with Dr. Lisa Moser, podcasting at thewardogwatch.com on the Down South and Dirty online network. Informing the public, this program gives anonymity to teachers. Callers, please protect the privacy of others by not identifying names and or locations.
Follow the weekly Teacher Talk blog on lisamoser.com. And to make a donation to the Teacher Talk Radio Syndication Fund, click on GoFundMe. Now back to the Teacher Talk discussion.
Today on Teacher Talk is a conservative commentator, well known in Atlanta, but originally from New York. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And before the break, we were talking a little about your support system, a very strong support system, your family really valuing education. We both agree that that's so important and that that's lacking some in the Black community. What do you see that might help grow the value of education in the African-American community? You mentioned charter schools. Tell me if you think that's part of the change needed.
Absolutely, I think it's a change needed because, like I said, what it does is it separates. First, we have to do kind of what you and I. This and like I said, Lisa, please. There are going to be people that hear what I'm going to say, and they're going to say I don't care, and they're going to say a lot of different things. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's my opinion. But at a certain point, we've going to have to move kids into situations where they can win and move them away from children who are in almost impossible situations. And so what does that mean? Well, what that means is that at a certain point, we've got to recognize that there are children that are in impossible situations. We can't give up on them. I'm not saying we give up on them. I'm not saying that we toss them to the wolves. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just simply saying that we have to put the onus back on the parents that whatever happens to your child is a function of you or what you're not doing. And we can no longer waste resources. And I hate to use the term waste, but that's what, you know, that's the only word I can come up with. Waste resources trying to save your child when you're not doing anything to save them or your own. And so I think that we're coming to that point now. And I think that's why charter schools work. Charter schools work because it allows a parent who cares, who may not have the means, but they care about the they value the education of their child.
What do you say to the line of thought? Because you know you are very used to people not agreeing with you.
Yeah.
So what do you say to the person that says charter schools and vouchers take away from the public school system money that's needed for the masses?
Well, understand this. Before you had the charter school and the money wasn't being taken away and the money was there, how was the public school performing? So if the public school wasn't performing with the money and the public school is not performing without the money, then clearly it's not the money.
And you say that that's the direction to go in, the other options
absolutely
out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Homeschooling, charter schools, vouchers, whatever we can do to separate good kids from the bad kids. And what I mean by bad kids, and there's going to be people out there who are going to argue with me and say there's no such thing as a bad kid. What I mean by that is kids that are in bad situations, kids that are in situations that make it fundamentally impossible for them to learn. And we need to put those children together so we can teach them in the unique ways that they can learn because they're going through so many other societal pressures. But there are a bunch of kids out there who, under some of the same pressures, they have a single parent, or they're coming from a dysfunctional home, but that one parent, that one grandma, somebody in that house does give a damn about their education and does work with them and does do everything possible to make sure this kid is getting a good education. Those kids, we need to move into another area.
I see.
And that would be a charter or a voucher.
And of course, I've respected your opinions on things that I've differed on a number of occasions. I just hit the little like or the not like button on your Facebook. But Shelly, I just want to also put out there, because as a teacher myself, you know, I know that parents do make a difference, but unfortunately, not every kid is going to have the best of parents. You were one of the fortunates that had not only parents,
right? No, I understand
that. Community.
Right. And I understand that. I completely understand the situational thing. I understand that. That's why you have to design the schools or the educational practices for those kids. I'm just simply saying, if there's a kid who lives in a household where the parent doesn't, where essentially the parent is sending the kid off to be babysat from 7:30 in the morning to 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that kid should be in a school with other kids that are similar in background to that situation, because those kids will learn differently than a kid who's being sent to school having had their homework done, having read 3 or 4 chapters of a extra book that night, having talked to, having done vocabulary studies, having done math, extra math, having done the work at night after getting off the school with a parent who values their education. Those are two separate different kids, and they cannot, it's fundamentally impossible, whether I'm a teacher or not, I can, logic tells me it's fundamentally impossible to teach those two children in exactly the same way.
Yeah, but I, in the long term, I see that school system becoming weaker and weaker, but we will leave it there. I'll certainly give you.
Well, it won't become weaker and weaker. Well, it shouldn't become, it shouldn't by definition become weaker and weaker, because more resources would go to the kids who need it the most than to the charter school. So if the parents are involved in the education of the charter school and they're coming to PTA meetings and they're doing fundraising and they're doing everything necessary, then logically less resources would be needed for this charter school than it would be for the school with children who are going there whose parents don't care, whose parents are not involved, and whose parents don't have the means even
well,
to get involved.
Well, Shelley, because the parents don't care, because the parents don't have the means, doesn't mean that that child does not deserve the best of education also. But let's leave it there at that point.
No, absolutely.
Before
I think they do. But there's a flip side to your question. Let me just say this. There's a flip side to your question.
Go ahead.
The flip side to your question is, does the other child who comes from a parent who does care, who's trying their best, who's studying their hardest, does that child have the right to lose a good education because the other child is in that situation?
Because
what we're seeing more. What we're seeing more and more
on an individual basis is hard, even on a wider scale. It's difficult. I don't see a voucher or a charter schools as an answer. That's just my personal opinion from where I sit and from where I see it. But I also give respect to your opinion. So on that note, let me also say that as a private child of private school, but you have a parent that taught in public school, you know that we have
Holly Winter. And I want to thank him so much for giving some input, because obviously this is a strong topic. And there's a lot of conservatives that are for charter schools and vouchers. There's a lot of liberals that are for charter schools and vouchers. But as a teacher sitting in a classroom myself, as I reiterated with Mr. Shelley Winter and with the caller before that, that I think that we need to come up with an alternative that does not make the overall public school system weaker. We need to make it stronger. And I want to reference also my parent. I wish I could say her last name, but I don't have permission, so I'm just going to say, and her name is Lisa too, so hey, she's gotta, you know, be on the ball about something. But she made an excellent point. You know, we're trying to label the school is bad when more so it's the support system that needs more work, and that includes the parents. But let me say that it's not just conservatives, because I think Dr. Steve Perry, do you know who he is? You follow him? He is more of a progressive educator. He speaks a lot to the Latino population. But when he wrote this, it really hit home. I saved it. Let me read it to you. Dr. Steve Perry. Google him if you're not sure, don't know the name. But on his Twitter post, he said, "People have no legs to stand on when you support America's apartheid education. Those who do expose their commitment to party and politics over the people, because no one believes that U.S. public schools will ever equally educate minority kids. So what are you supporting?" It's a strong topic. It's a strong topic. I know you may not agree with me, but again, just know that as a teacher, I'm looking out over a classroom, or I was, because, you know, I retired this year, but I was looking out over a classroom where some students didn't have a support system, and you're going to make it worse for these kids because these kids do have a support system? I'm sorry. You know, I can't do it. I can't do it. So some difficult situations. And I had planned on getting to that part of the discussion a little bit later, but here we are. We've got a few more minutes. We can take a couple of calls. We've had some technical issues. I do apologize not being able to take some of the calls. I'll try to get a couple more calls in. The number is 646-787-1657. If you weren't able to get through and you'd like to make a comment, please go to my blog, lisamoser.com, and click on Teacher Talk blog. We're going to be right back after this.
This is Teacher Talk with Dr. Lisa Moser, podcasting at thewardogwatch.com on the Down South and Dirty online network, informing the public this program gives anonymity to teachers. Callers, please protect the privacy of others by not identifying names and or locations. Follow the weekly Teacher Talk blog on lisamoser.com, and to make a donation to the Teacher Talk Radio Syndication Fund, click on GoFundMe. Now back to the Teacher Talk discussion.
The Teacher Talk discussion is for positive talk therapy, so let me try and come back up, because even talking about something difficult is good talk therapy. And as I started out the program, I was saying how stressful this time of the year is, and it is. We're not the only ones. Just the other day, I read an article in India. 20 students took their lives in India after failing the academic exam. Now, that's pressure. So this time of the year can be a touch-and-go situation for all kinds of emotions. So when I say that this program, Teacher Talk, is positive talk therapy, we got to talk through these things. We have to get it out. This time of the year, not everyone is finished with their assessments. And that is one of the things that can stress out not only students but also teachers. If you think it's just about, you know, giving a kid a test and a pencil and letting them take the test and that's it, let me clarify that when it's test day, exam day, all through the grade levels, it's very regimented. And not everybody is from a very regimented background. Now, those of you parents who are in the military, you probably are a little more familiar with how strict a protocol for an exam can be. But let me just clarify, because please support your students, but also support your teachers. This time of the year is very stressful. There are lots of rules about how a test, how exams are facilitated. There's no talking. You have to take away a student's phone. There are no phones. That in alone is a whole other topic about how students can become dysfunctional because their phone has been taken away. But there are no phones. There's no talking, no coming in and out of the building. Very strict. No book bags. You have to stay seated for hours at a time. And we're talking all grade levels going through this assessment. It is a very strict, very regimented procedure to go through an exam day. And then to find out that you didn't do well, I hope it's not as extreme as it is in some other communities, but certainly we need to value education. And this time of the year, we need to be more supportive of our students, of our teachers, of our schools, and get through what is a stressful end of the year. I want to go into, again, the number, and I do apologize if I'm not able to take your call. It's not because I don't want to. It's just that it is my first podcast. We're in downtown Atlanta, and we've had a couple of technical problems, but we're going to work our way through this. If you'd like to comment on my blog, please do that. Just go to lisamoser.com. The number to call in is 646 787 5-7. Let's talk about attitudes just a little bit, because I think that also relates to our support system. When we look at different professions, I mean, think about it. Would you go to the dentist and insult the dentist right before you're going to get a root canal? Would you do that? Would you go to any other profession and insult them and then ask them for service? I mean, just think about whatever service, whatever professional service you had. Would you be rude to them? Would you purposely be, you know, confrontational? Because teachers deal with that, and especially this time of the year. So I also want to have us check on our attitudes for this time of the year. It's emotional. We need to work through it. If you're having a bad day, you need to go to somebody, and you really need to work on addressing mental wellness. Certainly, we make mistakes, but hopefully not to this point. I was very disturbed reading this article. I think I got this from NBC News Online. A Kansas elementary school teacher who was seen in surveillance video kicking a 5-year-old student. She is or could face criminal charges, and rightly so, because certainly there's a problem there. The second-year teacher identified as a teacher at the school district of at the Shawnee Mission School District. I'm not going to say the teacher's name. But a district spokesperson confirmed Wednesday to NBC News that this teacher kicked the student. The video shows the 5-year-old lying in a bookshelf in the library, and the teacher yanks the girl out of the shelf and kicks the child in the back out of the sight of someone else that was in the room. School officials found the surveillance footage of the girl and complied with the mother's request to see this video, and it's just horrendous. So it's disturbing. I'm not sticking up for the teacher, but I'm just saying that whatever is stressing you, whether you are a teacher, a parent, a student, this is the kind of situation where we don't want it to get to this point. So we need to collaborate. We need to talk about it. We need to support each other. And that's all what Teacher Talk is about. Thank you. I'm Dr. Lisa Moser. This is Teacher Talk, Positive Talk Therapy. We will be joining you again. And thanks for this input. For those of you who tried to call in and did not get through, we apologize, but we'll be talking to you soon. Stay positive.
This is Teacher Talk with Dr. Lisa Moser, podcasting at thewardogwatch.com on the Down South and Dirty online network. Informing the public, this program gives anonymity to teachers. Callers, please protect the privacy of others by not identifying names and or locations. Follow the weekly Teacher Talk blog on lisamoser.com. And to make a donation to the Teacher Talk Radio Syndication Fund, click on GoFundMe. Now back to the Teacher Talk discussion.